I told my husband, if this doesn't work, 2 weeks later, I'm just going to pump. And it did not work. And 2 weeks later, I was just like, you know what? I guess I am just going to pump. And there I was, the only person that I've ever known to do what is called exclusive pumping.
Giving birth is one of the most significant events of your life. Sadly, the joy that you should feel can often be replaced with anxiety and helplessness instead. As a labor and delivery nurse, I'm revealing insider information to educate you, reassure you, and decrease your fear. In this podcast, you'll hear empowering birth stories and experts weigh in on a range of topics. Being Jewish also has me exploring Judaism's influence on the reproductive experience. However, I speak to anyone wishing to navigate their journey with more joy and confidence. I'm your host, Chani Fingerer, and you're listening to the Happy Birthway Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Happy Birthway Podcast. I hope for those of you who celebrate Thanksgiving, you had a beautiful one. And for those of you who celebrate Hanukkah, oh my gosh, like it's just right upon us. It just like crept up. So a Freilichen Hanukkah to you. And in this episode, I am so excited. You know why I'm such high energy? Because I am interviewing someone who's super high energy. Her name is Tamari Jacobs. She is a lactation counselor that specializes in pumping for both exclusive and occasional pumpers. After not having the support that she needed to nurse her oldest son, she chose to exclusively pump. Her dream was to provide her son with breast milk, and this was the only way that was possible to do so. Realizing how little support she had while pumping and how little information was out there, she decided to create One with the Pump to provide all moms with help on their pumping journey. She exclusively pumped for two of her children and is currently nursing her baby boy with occasional pumping when needed. She absolutely loves supporting other mamas and steering them on a path that's right for them. Pumping does not need to be a guessing game. If you happen to be lucky enough to have a consult with her, then you will create together with her concrete plans to help you feel in control of your journey. This is going to be part one of our interview. I want you guys to have enough capacity to process it with your mom brains. We all know that mom brains need shorter bursts of information. So this is going to be part one, and we will do part two in the next episode. So stay tuned. Okay, Tamari, I love what you've done on Instagram. You and I started our accounts about the same time, and I have to say I am just astonished at your incredible growth. You're just, and I understand why, because not only do you put out amazing quality content and knowledge out there, you also are hilarious. So like you're a comedian and a consultant all in one. And of course, everyone loves you. So like you gained a massive following also because you're doing something that is so needed and that is unfortunately very underrepresented, underserved. So thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This is so nice. I know I really, really wanted to make sure that we got to do this podcast. I love everything that you do. I was just thinking the other day about how we connected the first time we ever connected. Like, I totally remember I was in my classroom and I had found your account and we reached out to each other. And I was like, oh my God, look, like another kind of like similar account. And I just think it's crazy how both of our accounts have just like continued to grow and we just are getting a little bit more into this crazy Instagram world, but in a good way, because I'm just so happy to give education out and to give moms the education and, you know, the help that they need that I did not get, but really want to make sure that no one else feels that way and everyone else has.
Yes, you're doing incredible work. Social media, while there are many downsides yeah. that we talk about, there are really a lot of things to gain from it that I also want to give a shout out to. And yeah. I wish you were around when I was raising my little kids and pumping. I had such terrible experiences pumping. I hated it, but also I just never got enough milk. And I'm sure that if I would have taken one of your classes to increase milk supply, it probably would have been wonderful. And I have to just say this one cute little story.
because you would appreciate it. When I went back to work after my last one 5 years ago, she was about 8 or 9 weeks old, and I was pumping. And because I woke up so early for my shifts, in the beginning, I woke up at like 4:45 first to get a pumping session in, and then I got smarter, and I would pump while I was driving to work. I would come out in the winter. It was freezing cold, November, December time, and I had this like a kimono large sweater, and I would set up the pump with a special like hands-free pump bra, and I had a car charger, and I would set it all up and drive the 35 minutes to work while I pumped with like my hands spread out. And you know, it was funny. And then one day as I was driving to work and pumping, suddenly I feel something warm on my leg, on my lap, only to realize that the milk was leaking from one of the bottles. And
there's nothing worse than that. That's like, all I have to say.
Yeah, and like I couldn't stop it right away because I was driving. I needed my hands on the steering wheel. So yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, that's like everyone's worst nightmare is just to end up losing all of their milk. It doesn't get easier no matter how much milk you make. That is always terrible.
Oh my gosh, yes. But even like my clothes is just gross. They smelled. I'm so happy that I change into scrubs when I get to work.
I was gonna say, well, at least you had scrubs, right?
Yeah, I had scrubs to change into. Not every nurse changes into scrubs at their job. A lot of them just wear scrubs on the way to work, outside scrubs. I don't, because I work in OR. So, you know, the standard of care is to change into hospital laundered scrubs. But I know, super duper fancy. So, so lucky, those scrubs are just like stunning, you know, they're just gorgeous. Nothing as fashionable as hospital issued scrubs. But I just, oh my gosh, I don't miss those days. And I remember when I finished pumping, I threw out that kimono sweater thing. I could not look at it.
It's like PTSD, right?
Oh my gosh, totally. So let's have you tell us your journey and all the stuff that you experienced having your babies.
So I think it's interesting because I really have had so many different experiences with each of my kids, which I'm happy about. I mean, at the time of each of them, I wasn't happy about, because, you know, when you're in the middle of going through something hard, it's hard to see, you know, the silver lining, no matter what anyone says. But after the fact, I definitely can look back and see how each of the experiences kind of helped me and shaped me and prepared me, you know, to create One with the Pump, to create this business, to create the ability to help people. But at the time, I definitely did not feel that way. And let me tell you a little bit how. So I got pregnant with my son, Svi. He is going to be 4. And I like was absolutely sure that I wanted to nurse him. Nursing was like really a big thing in my house. My grandmother, my aunt, like everyone like did this stuff, gave Lamaze classes. Like it was something totally talked about that we were very into, and I always knew that I wanted to nurse him. I didn't even think twice that like I wouldn't be able to. At my last OB visit, so I guess I was like 40 weeks pregnant, my OB asked me, she was like, do you think that, are you going to nurse? Are you going to breastfeed? And I said, yeah, like I really want to, like, you know, if I'm able to. And she's like, well, you know, like if he's not able to latch, then you can always just pump. I was like, what are you talking about? And I didn't even think that that was a thing. Like you can just pump. And I remember coming home and telling my husband, I'm like, you know, I could always pump if he's not able to latch. And it was just like so mind blowing for me because no one ever talked about that. I never even really like heard anything about a breast pump, but I still wanted to nurse him. So I had him, all this, you know, we had our 30-hour labor, everything good that a firstborn gives you, all the good stuff. And after that, I tried latching him, and like literally from the start, he refused. From the minute we were in the hospital, it was just a catastrophe when it came to the latching. He was just not able to. I, looking back, I don't like, people are like, did he have a tongue tie? I didn't even know that tongue tie was a thing. I didn't even know that that was something to look for. Like, still, like, recently, like, when he's 3.5 years old, I opened his mouth and I'm like, do you have a tongue tie in here? Because I didn't even know if, like, anyone had ever checked him for it, because I didn't know if, by the way, I'm currently pumping. If anyone here is pumping in the background, that's because just a piece of advice is to always use a virtual time to pump when you have to.
But that's a side note. Super on theme. I love it.
Just in case you guys hear a slight vibrating, it is me pumping in the background. Anyways, so yeah, I tried latching him. I didn't even know what the problem was. I was directly given a nipple shield in the hospital. No one was trying to help me. They would just like, use this. I didn't even know how to use it properly. I had no idea what I was doing. I had a lactation consultant come to my house when I was like a week or 2 weeks postpartum. At this time, during this whole shebang, I kept trying to latch him. Constantly, I would try and try and nothing would work. So in the meantime, I was pumping. I had to rip open my breast pump. I had never, ever opened it before. I ripped the pieces out of the plastic, tried to put everything together, not sterilized, not washed. I started pumping because my son was screaming his head off because he was starving. And then I was pumping one side, taking the bottle off, giving it to my mom. My mom would give him the half an ounce that quickly came out. While I was pumping the other side, we switched bottles. We kept switching the bottles that she was giving him while I was pumping the other one. It was just out of control. And basically, the whole time I was just pumping while attempting to nurse. And it just wasn't working. It just, like, nothing was working. My anxiety level was incredibly high because every time it was time for a feeding, I knew, like, what was this time gonna bring? How was this gonna happen? And as a first-time mom, I didn't even know that something was so wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Did you get any support from lactation consultants during that time, including in the hospital? Because I would love to hear your experience of breastfeeding support in the hospital as well, and then thereafter.
Yeah, so I have a pretty harsh stance on lactation consultants in the hospital, which is probably not fair. I'm pretty vocal about it on my page. And I know that you can never, ever generalize about anyone, you know, or any group of people. I know, like, specifically you, Hani, and I know there's a lot of people that work in the hospital that are really, really there for the moms, really try their absolute best to give everything to the moms. But I just do not think that the lactation consultants in the hospital are, I don't think that they're set up to help mothers succeed. And I don't even think it's their fault.
More like employed by the hospital versus hired by the client.
Exactly. You know, you have either one lactation consultant for like 20 rooms, or you have four lactation consultants who are all contradicting each other. Those are really the two options. I happen to have had an amazing lactation consultant this last day with my son. And it's probably one of the reasons why I ended up being able to nurse him, because I had that help right there and then. But either way, you know, you want to get yourself started off having the support that you need. So right now I currently tell moms, if you want to make it work, you absolutely should hire a lactation consultant on your own to have on day 3 or 4, which I find is when moms need the most help. So I'll tell them, like, if I do a prenatal with them, I'll be like, hire someone already. Even if you don't know your due date, speak to them when you're 39 or 38 weeks and say, I want to book you for when I'm 3 days postpartum. Because, you know, some lactation consultants book 2-3 weeks in ahead. You don't want to call someone in desperation and then tell you, I'm sorry, I can't get you in for 2 more weeks. So I did that this time around and it was incredibly helpful, but I did not know that when I was a first-time mom. So I had the first lactation consultant come when I was 2 weeks postpartum, which is already pretty late in the game. You know, not late in the game, but think about how many feedings that is.
And it makes it much harder to establish successful breastfeeding so late in the game. Like, those first weeks are extremely important.
Exactly. And it's crazy because that's only 2 weeks in. Like, imagine someone, you know, I was doing this until I was 8 or 9 weeks. So just even like the first 2 weeks to do this and to try to like get things going, it was incredibly, incredibly difficult, because I literally had no clue what I was doing, and I didn't know that I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
That's the bigger thing, is that as a first-time mom, you don't even know what you don't know. So you don't know how to fix it, and you don't know what support to look for.
Yeah.
That's really the biggest thing, is that you don't even know what you're missing, which is wild.
Yeah. And on that topic, I wanted to go back to the hospital piece. So I've worked in several hospitals, and I really, really feel very strongly that the support and culture surrounding breastfeeding varies tremendously from unit to unit. I've worked in hospitals where it was very like loose, and the lactation consultant would just, you know, hang out, go into some rooms, but the nurses were not very supportive. They didn't want to put in the extra time. They didn't receive the proper education to be, like you said, consistent.
Right.
So patients, we've had patients who gave feedback that everyone was telling them something else, so they really didn't know what was right or wrong, and they were confused. And
Honey, I would literally have one lactation consultant come in, tell me something, and then, because anytime one was passing, I would have them come in, and maybe that was a fault. An hour later, another woman would come in and totally contradict her.
Yeah. And then I actually, one of the hospitals I currently work at is absolutely incredible, has a very, very strong lactation program with like official referrals to a lactation consultant. So not everyone gets one. Like if there's a mom that successfully breastfed her baby before, unless she asks for it herself, we're not going to refer her. And a nurse will recognize and see if there's a problem. But the lactation consultant comes into the patient's room. They take a full history thoroughly, and they really pay a lot of attention and have a lot of concern. Now, for some people, granted, some of the lactation consultants they don't vibe with very much, and they feel like they come off a little bit too strong. But and the education is very uniform. So we have annual education about breastfeeding and modules and information, maybe biannual, I'm trying to remember. But we have a lot of consistent education about it too, so that for the most part, we are presenting the same information to our patients from nurse to nurse. And I have to say that there are baby-friendly hospitals where, okay, there are controversies around that too, but one of the major benefits of giving birth in a baby-friendly hospital is that the nurses all are required to have a special amount of training surrounding breastfeeding, and they can promote that way and support moms much better. So I think that it varies tremendously from hospital to hospital. It's not always possible to know which hospital is going to be supportive more than another, but you can ask from friends, of course, and then you can also look for that baby-friendly credential, because those hospitals have lactation consultants round the clock, and the nurses have extensive training, and a lot of them are themselves have that certification of being a IBCLC, you know, lactation consultant. So it's just to give people listening to this the awareness that it varies very much. And my tenet is fed is not best, breast is not best, supported is best. I'm sorry that best doesn't rhyme with supported, but really that's my tenet. So those are important pieces that you're bringing up about that proper, having that good support.
Yeah, so I just want to challenge that with, I only ever heard the term baby-friendly hospital when I was studying to be a lactation counselor. I never heard it for sure, not before I was a first-time mom, and I absolutely did not hear it until I went for professional training. So I think that's something else that, you know, it just comes with the continued education that first-time moms and all-time moms need, is that that's something that you can look up, is what's called a baby-friendly hospital. And basically, in short terms, that means that they're going to really, really support your breastfeeding journey from day one. They're going to support doing skin-to-skin right when your baby is born. They're going to support you, like Hani said, in the way of breastfeeding, that everyone is trained. But not everyone knows that, and not everyone knows of that term. So this is just another thing to put on the list of things that we must make sure that our moms are aware of, because they aren't. They really don't know.
Yeah.
And we got to do something about it.
Yeah. And it's a credential through the AANC, I think. But it's a credential. So hospitals have to meet annually. They have to meet certain criteria in order to qualify. I think that the bad rap that baby-friendly hospitals get is the fact that they don't have a nursery. But again, they're set up in a way, ideally, where the staff to patient ratio is lower in order to be able to give the nurse more ability to support their patients, to give their patients the due attention that they need. And yes, and in general, let me put it out there that hospitals are huge drivers of certain outcomes. They have the potential to be huge drivers of certain outcomes that a doctor is not and a pediatrician is not, you know, such as C-sections and rates of induction. Hospitals are also the drivers of that, the hospital culture, VBACs. So this is one of the things that I think a hospital can be a huge driver of, the breastfeeding outcomes of moms who are able to achieve successful breastfeeding and exclusively breastfeed their babies if that's what works for them and that's what they want, not that it makes them insanely crazy stressed out. But these are things. And unfortunately, I have seen professionals that are a little bit too obsessed with the numbers, the breastfeeding, the exclusive breastfeeders that leave the hospital, because we do keep that data of what the percentage is of moms that exclusively breastfeed their babies in the hospital, and that's reported. I'm not sure if it's to the state or to whoever authorities, and it's published mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And I think that sometimes actually some staff get a little bit too overcaught up in those numbers versus the actual support that people are getting. So they start freaking out if the mom asks for a bottle of formula for the second night because it's going to ruin the numbers. Right. And sometimes then they go overboard in that case and make moms feel guilty or stressed or blah, blah, blah. So, right. Yeah, there are many components to it. So let's continue with your story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I was home and I had a lactation consultant who, again, this is something that I talked about on my page, that you really have to like vibe with your lactation consultant. We did not vibe. We didn't vibe. She was a very nice person, but we just did not vibe. She didn't even ask me my goals. And it's interesting because I've had friends who use this exact same lactation consultant and had amazing experiences with her, which just shows that you have to have someone who you vibe with. So I did not vibe with her.
It's like any relationship. You have to have certain 100%. Chemistry. Your OB provider, your pediatrician, your lactation consultant.
100%. You have to really like have chemistry. It has to work. And with her and I, it didn't work. But again, I didn't know that. So I just kept continuing on. I just kept trying. And she gave me another nipple shield. And I just... But you know what? It's so much more than that. Because now, after I became a lactation counselor... And, you know, looking back, it was so many things that I was doing wrong. I wasn't holding him in the correct position. His body wasn't in the right position. His head wasn't in the right position. I wasn't in the right position. There were so many things wrong. There was no way that I could have been successful with the information that I had at that point. But again, I didn't know that then. So it wasn't really, you know, it was hard for me to understand that, because during this whole time, I just kept feeling like such a failure. You know, I have this new life. And, you know, now that I have 3 kids, having 1 kid is like the easiest thing in the world. But at the time, going from 0 kids to 1 kid, you feel like your whole life is you know, upside down, overturned. I had no idea what was flying. I had the hardest time adjusting. I definitely had a lot of postpartum anxiety, was definitely going the direction of real postpartum depression, because I was dying to breastfeed and nurse my child, and it just was not working. During this whole time, I was pumping. I had no idea what I was doing when I was pumping. I didn't even know that the phalanges had sizes. I just kept taking whichever one I saw. I didn't even know that it had to... One time I could not get it to work. I didn't even realize that it had to have a duckbill in it.
See, I teach this. I teach this to my patients when I set them up with a pump.
But that's amazing. That's amazing that you do that, because a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, and that's the culture in our hospital. Like, we all do that. So it's really like testimony to the fact that different hospitals have completely different philosophies yeah. around it.
So it must be, because for my clients, a lot of times they'll tell me that the only thing that their lactation consultants in the hospitals tell them is like, A, you don't need a pump. B, don't look at a pump until you're 6 weeks. C, like, just forget about the pump. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to have a pump. Absolutely not. But let's say someone told me that and I listened to that and I didn't touch my pump until my baby was 6 weeks. I would have had zero milk supply, because I could not get my child to the breast. And I had to protect my milk supply. Now, I don't know how I knew to pump. I think it really was more about me just wanting to give him the breast milk. So I said, oh, I have to pump every time to give him the breast milk. I didn't really understand why or, you know, how or anything like that. I had no rhyme or reason to when I decided to pump. I remember one time I was like, oh, it's fine. Like, I'll end up just going 5 hours. And like, I ended up getting like super cocky about it because I had a decent milk supply. And like, I totally lost my supply the next day. And I was like, okay, I guess I can't go like 5 or 6 hours. But I was just lucky that I had a decent milk supply because I had no idea what I was doing. So I basically just kept like guessing, getting stuff from the internet. You know, 4 years ago, which doesn't sound like so long ago, but like there were not even, I don't think there was even one. Instagram was like barely a thing 4 years ago. So that was 2017. I mean, it was a thing, but like it wasn't as much of a thing as it is now. There wasn't, influencers wasn't as much of a thing.
I think it was a bigger thing for like influencers, lifestyle, blah, blahs. But I think that the medical community, the educational community, the mental health community was not very prevalent on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was like fashion people and stuff. I'm just not into that. So I wasn't aware. You know, like I only followed my friends. I never followed like a fashion blogger in my life. So they were there. I just didn't really care. But regarding like lactation accounts, I couldn't find anything. I remember I found a bunch of blogs. So I did find some blogs and I got some information from there. And you know, I took whatever information I could find on there and great, like whatever, it worked. I ended up when he was 2 months old, I ended up seeing one last lactation consultant who was like really, really professional. She was fabulous. And had I seen her earlier, maybe I don't want to say I could have been successful, but maybe I could have had a bigger chance of being successful, but I didn't. She was really expensive.
Or maybe come away with less trauma from the whole situation.
Exactly. Maybe just having like a little bit more, because we vibed, right? Like I definitely, me and her, we vibed. I had a good chemistry with her. We were much more on the same page. Maybe I could have had a different outcome. Maybe I just would have had more understanding of why this is never going to work, but that's okay. You know, she was very, very expensive, but it actually was worth it because I really find that like, if you don't invest in yourself, you're not going to get what you need. So even though it didn't end up working out, I'm very happy that I did it because I know that I did everything that I could have done. And then after her, she gave me everything. I went and I bought like different pacifiers and different bottles and the different this, and I did mouth exercises and all this stuff. And then I told my husband, if this doesn't work, 2 weeks later, I'm just going to pump. And it did not work. And 2 weeks later, I was just like, you know what? I guess I am just going to pump. And there I was, the only person that I've ever known to do what is called exclusive pumping.
Thanks for tuning into the Happy Birthway podcast. Head over to Yo What Did Academy on Instagram to continue the conversation. You'll find the link in the episode show notes, as well as links to any additional resources, products, and services mentioned here. If you love listening to this show, you can help it grow by sharing it with your friends and rating and reviewing it. To stay in the loop when new episodes are released, make sure to subscribe. Remember that your health needs are unique and require individualized medical advice. The podcast is not a replacement, and some of the information may not be appropriate for your specific circumstances. My mission is to educate you so that you can confidently collaborate with your healthcare team. I believe that a healthy mom and healthy baby are simply not enough. We also need a happy mom with an empowering birth experience.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
Green & Sons Farm and Lawn Equipment. On the web at greenandsons.com